All right. Good morning, everyone. It is 10:02 on April 5th, 2022. We have a quorum present. We're going to go ahead and call this meeting to order. You can all join me for the pledge.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I haven't had this many folks in here. Make sure your cell phones are on mute or silent. That'd be appreciated. We're going to move right on to item number three, this discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of the agenda for April 5, 2022. Is there any public comment regarding today's agenda?
Chairman, I do have two.
Yeah, go for it.
All right. We would like to ask that we move number seven, staff reports, to the end of the agenda to be immediately after number 27, just because of the load that we have on today's agenda. And then we'd also like to continue the consent agenda five, Roman numeral one, to the April 19th, 2022 commission meeting here at the courthouse.
All right, noted. One more time, is there any public comment? For those that are on Zoom, you can use star six to unmute yourself or the raise your hand feature. Not seeing any public comment. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments about today's agenda?
No questions or comments. Thank you.
Vice Chair?
No, that's fine.
All right, would you entertain a motion, please?
Yeah, I move to approve today's agenda with the noted changes.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Moving right along to item number four of this discussion for possible action, consideration and possible approval of the minutes for December 21, 2021. Is there any public comment regarding the December 21 minutes? Not seeing any public comment. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments about the minutes?
No, thank you.
Vice Chair?
No, thanks.
Would you entertain a motion, please?
Yeah, I move to approve the minutes of our December 21st, 2021 meeting as presented.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Item number five is today's consent agenda. Is there any public comment regarding today's consent agenda? Don't see any public comment. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments about today's consent agenda?
I do not. Do I understand it has been moved, the consent agenda, to the next meeting?
No, just item number five, I believe.
Number what?
5-1.
I understand. No questions.
All right. Thank you. Vice Chair, any questions? Do you entertain a motion?
Yeah, I move to approve today's consent agenda with the noted change.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Moving right along to item number six is public comment. Public comment will be allowed at the beginning and end of each meeting. This comment should be limited to matters not on today's calendar agenda. Public comment will be allowed after each item on the agenda. These comments should be limited to the agendized topic. With that said, is there any public comment today? Not seeing any public comment. We'll move on to item number eight, which are board comments. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any comments today?
Nothing to offer today. Thank you, sir.
All right. Vice Chairman?
No, thank you.
All right. And I don't have any comments either. So we are going to move right along to item number nine. This is discussion for possible action, review and possible approval of the 2022-2023 Story County tentative budget for submission to the Nevada Department of Taxation. Comptroller McCain.
Good morning, Jennifer McCain, Story County Comptroller, for the record. Before I get started, I wanted to give you a high level update on where we are at the end of the third quarter for our general fund. I think it's important that you kind of see where we are, where this budget lands, before I start talking about what we want to do next year. With that, Also, I want to let you know that the numbers and percentages I'm about to give you are very high level. The clerk treasurer's office has not finished their end of month processes, and I have not had time to audit these numbers. So it's just a general overview. Our revenues as of the third quarter for fiscal year 22 are approximately over collected by over the budget by 24% in the general fund. We budgeted 17 million and we have collected as of March 31st, approximately 22 million. Countywide, we are at an excess of 17% collected. Our expenses at the end of the third quarter for the general fund, we have approximately 31% remaining in the available budget, and countywide, we have approximately 38% remaining. So as I said, this information is really important. It aligns with our concept of conservative budgeting. We follow the Nevada Department of Taxation recommendations on our tax revenue, and internally, we budget all other revenues on a very conservative side. Expenses are budgeted moderately as well, and not using the philosophy of a use it or lose it process, our department heads are encouraged to only spend on items that they actually need, not just budgeted for. So with that, I'll move into the tentative budget. We have a few unanswered questions across all funds and departments, and these should hopefully be cleared up before the final budget. These include salary resolutions that are before you sometime in this meeting. We are negotiating with the AFSCME union currently. Our health insurance, which is currently budgeted for 12.5%, we still don't have a definite figure on that. Our liability and casualty insurance is budgeted with a 20% increase over last year. And our tax revenue projections, final projections, didn't come to us until we had already submitted everything. So those are our best estimates at the numbers that we sent taxation. As we transfer from our budget during this unprecedented COVID pandemic, we begin to adjust our budget with inflation issues that we're all seeing across the board. There are a number of line item accounts across all funds and departments that this is affecting. Specific ones are fuels, tires, computer equipment, and any line items that have anything to do with any of those, meaning delivery costs are going up because fuel prices are going up. So we, as much as I like to have the tentative budget as close to final at this time, things are changing every day. In fact, I heard several times this morning already that I have to update my budget. Those are not things that we're discussing today. I'm giving you the budget as we presented, and as things change in future meetings, I will bring those up to you. So for our general fund revenues, we are currently, in the current year, we are confident that the taxation numbers that we are providing you are not that far off. But again, this is not according to the final numbers that taxation has provided us. We have a few changes in our revenue budget for the general fund in the current year. We've moved to move fire prevention back to the fire district. This is presenting us with a few budgetary issues in the revenue side. You'll see a drop in the permit and business licenses from last year because we're now splitting that with the fire district. Our sales tax or the CCRTs, we anticipate an increase of approximately 20% this year. Our charges for services, you'll see a decrease that is mainly related to last year we budgeted for some double Tesla payments, and they are now caught up and we're on a regular annual payments now. In the grant section of the general fund, we did budget for a possible grant for the Lockwood Community Center that may stay in the general fund as revenue, but we will be transferring that out to our capital fund when the project begins. Moving on to specific departments and expenses, the commissioner's budget, which is handled by our county manager, and it's your budget, handles all things that don't fit in anywhere else. In this budget, we're anticipating a new position, the economic development director, which is not reflected in this budget. Once it's finalized, we will include it in the final budget. Other increases in this budget equate to approximately 28% of an increase. This is due to trainings and conferences now starting up again after COVID. And another contributing factor is a significant increase in professional services to help with upcoming research and evaluation tasks. And at this point, I'm going to let Austin, the county manager, explain more of his professional service budget.
Thank you, Comptroller McCain. Austin Osborne for the record, Story County Manager. Just to give you a little brief here on the 101 budget, which is commissioners in my office. As Jennifer had talked about, the economic development officer is a component of that. And then there's some services that that officer will need as far as like training and travel and those sorts of things. As far as professional services budget goes, you'll see there is a substantial amount in that this year. This is the new world we live in. As long as there's AB 90 and there's AB 240, which by the way is still effective, there's innovation zones. There is other folks in Washoe County, Reno, Sparks, Washoe, and wherever trying to look at us to revenue share or annex the industrial center or whatever. We're going to need these sorts of services. I don't expect that we'll have to spend items in here. There's $100,000 for fiscal backup. There's some other services in here for legislative backup. If we don't need to spend that, that money will then just be rolled over into the next year. But it's there as an arsenal. We'll need it for professional services to help us with legislative bills that might be coming or even that exist now, with fiscal analyses, studies dealing with regional impacts, whatever has come up with us. The white paper, as we call it, that'll be published, that is still being put together. We believe that it might go past July 1st, so there's budgets for that paper to continue, and that is the fiscal study of revenues and responsibilities and spending that the county is going to need to do over the next 10-year period to be put into that paper to show the region and to show the legislature that we need the money that might be coming to us in the future from the industrial center, that is not to be subject to revenue sharing with our neighbors or be taken by the state. There's a couple other items on there. We are preparing for going to bid for waste management for solid waste trash services across the county. That contract expires in 2024, but we're preparing well ahead of time and to get some consultation services that are experts in trash agreements. That's in here, and that will be for about half of it this year, maybe half of it the following fiscal year. There's lobbying services, pretty much the reasons why I described earlier. And then we have water resource management and water resource assistance in here for the agreements that we're negotiating with the state and Carson City and Tumwa, and then the finishing of the strategic plan.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Another significant note in the commissioner's budget is transfers come out of this department, and they are general fund transfers of support to other funds. An example of that is $1 million tentatively budgeted for the tri-payback. We also transfer $105,000 to Pipers for support. There's $5 million, which includes that $2.5 million grant. When we receive it, that will be transferred to capital projects. These transfers total $6,653,000. Next, I'd like to discuss the recorder's budget. This department had a significant increase of approximately 13%. This increase can be seen in wages and benefits with a reclass of an employee and an increase in mapping and records management projects that the recorder would like to undertake. I'm asking her to tell you a little bit more about her projects.
Thank you. right, good morning. Marnie Hansen Martinez, the county reporter. We're hoping to tackle a couple of projects that we've backburnered. One very important one is mapping of the patented and unpatented mining claims in the county. People from all over the world own some of these patents, and they're very difficult to find. So we're hoping to add an app to our website where it integrates with our GIS, and you can see these in a satellite overview. So much easier than looking at a flat map, helping people find that information faster. We currently map those with Loomis and Associates. They would share that CAD data with Far West, and it would integrate right in. Any questions about the mapping?
No. Okay. No, thank you.
And then our other project is records management. We want to get more documents online. We want to go back to 1974. Those indexes are a little spotty. They're difficult to search. So we're hoping to close that gap between 1974 and 1982 and get those documents online. So that's why we're asking for that amount there. Any questions there?
Any questions, Commissioner Gilman? You're on mute.
No, I'm thinking about this for a minute. I'm just curious why we're going back for the document records to the 70s. I don't understand exactly the dynamics of why we do something like that, but I'm willing to learn.
Sure, good question. So we're indexed right now back to 1982. It means you can go online and find everything to 1982. 74 is when our official record series kind of changed, and it was a taking off point between the old and the new. So there was a lot of things happening in the 70s within town, within everywhere, that we're not able to find. A lot of times we have something we need to find for the county on a certain property, and it's very difficult to find. And unless those indexes are indexed well to the record, you can't find results. I don't know if that answered your question well enough or confused it.
Well, I can appreciate that. Our county has gone through some transitions and tremendous growth and tremendous changes. And back in 1974, we were approaching and doing business in a certain way. And is it your belief that you'll find a significant amount of documentation and backup from the 70s that late or that early in the cycle?
Yes, and we have a lot of it. And what happened in that time period too, you saw development in the Highlands in Mark Twain, a lot of those areas being established, and it would just help us and the community find their documents faster if they're title searching or looking for easements. That's a big one that comes up a lot. Difficult to find, especially when it comes to the Highlands area.
I certainly appreciate and understand that. I'm sure it's going to be an interesting task, kind of an Easter egg hunt, but well wishes on that. And thank you for the update.
Thank you.
No, thank you.
Thank you, Maureen.
Okay, thank you.
The next department I'd like to discuss is the assessor's budget. The increase there is approximately 7%. This is due to the DevNet software that she uses. This is kind of an evolving item for us. At first, I believe that this was for further build out of the program, but as new information has come up, this looks like it's going to be a software and maintenance issue, but I'd like Jana to please explain a little bit of that to you guys.
Good afternoon. This is Jana, the Story County Assessor. As we all know, the past 5 years, we have pretty much all departments have had to go through a major software design revamp. The assessors and the treasurer's office are both on the DevNet software. The treasurer's side is strictly just the collections portions, as unfortunately the clerk treasurer's office has to deal with a multitude of software, and that's out of my realm. However, I do know that a portion of this software is for the collections portion only. So in August, this upcoming August, our five-year contract is coming to a close. And so we are currently in negotiations right now. I shouldn't say really negotiations. We're just getting our contracts to us for the next 5 years. So we have now gone into, even though we're still doing some development, I can't really say we're in development. We are in redesign phase. Things are working for the most part. I'd have to say that everything works. It just isn't working. Some of the modules aren't working the way we want them to work. They're not as efficient as we originally hoped. So DevNet has been gracious enough to go back through and redesigning all of our stuff right now. So that was where the confusion initially, when I was talking to Jennifer in regards, because we didn't have the contract in front of us yet. We didn't know if part of this was still going to be part of the design phase or if we were moving into basically maintenance, our maintenance support and licensing. So I finally got in touch with DevNet. I do have a new contract. I have sent it to our DA's office to look over to make sure that everything looks like it is. So that's the reason why you guys have not seen anything come before you yet. So anyways, basically what this is now, this is going to all be, our new contract is all strictly going to be license support and maintenance coming forward. So our first year would be, and again, this is for assessor and collection side of everything. So the first year for this upcoming new five-year contract would be a total of $32,580. The next year would be, we would see a 5% increase at $34,174. There will be no increase the next year. Well, I say it would be a tiny increase. They did something weird with that 5% increase and split it differently over the second and third year, but it still adds up to a total of a 5% increase for each year. But that would be $34,224. Then in the fourth year, we would see another 5% increase. Again, I think we're all, has sort of been a test to the price. I hate to say the word inflation, but there it is. And then it would be $35,895. And again, for year five, it would hold again at that $35,944. So that being said, we've got a five-year contract in front of us. The previous contract, I don't know if you want to hear what those numbers were in the beginning in the design phase, but I'll let you guys ask any questions from there.
Thanks, Jana. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Jana?
Not at the moment. Thank you.
Sure.
Just one, Jana. So just to make sure I understand this correctly. So even though a portion of the software would be used in the clerk treasurer's office for budgeting purposes right now, we've put the full amount into the assessor's budget. Is that a correct understanding?
For now, yes. That's because it kind of stayed. And honestly, we were just going to kind of fix this in the tentative because we didn't have our contract yet. So I wasn't exactly sure how much went where. So we had kind of decided that when we get into the finalized budget, and that Jennifer can attest to this if you want, we will kind of move things around. But originally we weren't really looking at it as between assessor and treasurer because it was a design phase and it was all coming through the general. So I'll have to say that I apologize for that because it kind of hit me like a ton of bricks week when we were looking at this contract, and I thought, wait a minute, this is going to be coming out of my budget now, and it's really for two offices. So so we figured once we get a finalized contract, then we will disperse it how it needs to go.
Understood. Thank you. And my question was just for understanding. I was not necessarily asking you to defend that, so thank you.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chairman,
sorry.
I'm curious, Jana. As we embarked on this software program and the upgrades and all the research that went into designing did we anticipate this level of ongoing and growing costs within the budget cycle and the needs to have this kind of growth, for example, on this software program?
We did. And if we look back at ADS, we paid significant maintenance fees to ADS and licensing fees, because a lot of this is licensing fees that we have to do every year. And those are increasing every year for not just our software, but for like our Marshall and Swift costing systems and stuff like that. That is all now being paid through the software company. So, yeah, we did. It's a very dynamic system, and we kind of got lulled into this understanding with ADS that they were a little bit lower. But looking through and looking at what things were going to cost when we were checking out all the different companies that could do this, we knew that it was going to be a significant increase over from ADS, and it would be an ongoing thing.
I'd be curious at this point if it were possible or probable to do an analysis, if you will, a budget analysis. You laid out years 2, 3, and 4, if you will. I'm not sure how many years are in that program, but over the next 10 years, what are the expected increases in this particular program, if any? And is there a way for us to budget that for longer term future?
I mean, we can. I'm not really sure, because trying to predict what's going to happen 6 years from now is a little difficult. We do have the prediction for the next 5 years, obviously, because it's a 5-year contract. Looking at the first year, of course, once you take out like our actual big lump sum payment that we've paid the very first year, there's only been a 5% increase. Of course, it's a decrease when you look at last year's contract, but we had that huge design payment right up front. So, but they are anticipating, from what DevNet has said, that they are looking to not have more than a 5% increase per year. As you can see, that the year 2 and 3 didn't really increase. I mean, it held. From year one to year two, there's a 5-year increase. Then it basically holds between year 2 and 3, and then it increases again 5% in year 4 and holds in year five. So over a 5-year period, we've had a 10% increase. So I would hope that we wouldn't have more than a 10% increase in our next 5 years. So, but until we see what happens with how much payroll goes up, not just for us, but also for the company, the software. If all of a sudden, you know, their payroll increases 50% or 40% just because of wage inflation, I don't know what they'd be able to do. I don't know if they'd be able to hold it. So that's kind of a guessing game I think we're all in right now. If you really want to know the truth, what's going to happen?
It just appears to me that it would be worthwhile to, we're committed, we're involved in this thing, and seems to me that it has a upside growth potential that we really don't have any control over, and that's somewhat of a concern. So I would encourage all of us to look carefully at our future and make sure that we're not getting painted into some kind of a corner that's going to be pretty costly. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks again, Jana.
Thank you very much.
Okay, moving on to the buildings and grounds budget. This budget saw an overall 22% increase. This is due to a couple of main areas. The first one is utilities. Last year, we moved all utility payments into buildings and grounds for all county buildings, except for fire, VCTC, water, and sewer. And unfortunately, like everything else, utilities are significantly increasing, so we had to increase that budget overall. Another area of increase is building maintenance. We know that the county has several buildings. We're currently working with Public Works to develop a little more of a plan to justify the significant increase in that line item. The other significant increase is our line item for our streetlights. over COVID, buying parts and the actual streetlights that line C Street was difficult. They are now becoming available, and we have opted to pull that budget from $25,000 to $50,000 so that Jason and his team can purchase a nice supply of parts so we can keep those lights active and going. Next, we have the sheriff's budget. His budget has stayed fairly steady. He is requesting three new vehicles out of our equipment acquisition fund to continue with the rotation of his vehicles. I would also like to point out that he has a capital outlay item under his budget of some new tasers and a new taser program. We were given an $81,000 five-year budget. We've opted to go with the five-year plan of $17,000 a year for several reasons. And the main one being it doesn't cost us more to put that into the budget for every year for 5 years. And with kind of the way things are going and technology is changing, we might need to change up in a year or two. But if you'd like to hear more about the taser program, the sheriff is here and he can fill you in a little bit more.
Upgrades of the tasers being something less than lethal that we really need to have available to us. Taser does a great thing. Every 5 or 6 years, they make previous models obsolete, so they kind of force you into upgrading. Maybe it's better that way, I don't know. But with the program, this is a complete package for the 5 years. They provide cartridges, batteries, replacements if there's any issues. So there's a lot of incidental costs that we won't see over the course of this contract. But it does require a complete replacement of the tasers. And tasers not cheap. They kind of have a corner on the market. So it's one of those things that we are stuck with, unfortunately, until someone comes up with something better. As far as the vehicles, I know we're still waiting for our vehicles that were ordered for this year. Again, back to supply chain issues, nothing we can do about that, but we are putting in for the additional vehicles for the upcoming budget so that when the vehicles do arrive, we continue with the rotational process that we started several many years ago. So unless you have other questions.
Thank you, Sheriff. Commissioner Gilman, do you have anything for the sheriff?
Just curious if there'd be a market for our used tasers if we turn these over. I'm not sure how many we're talking about or what volume, but just curious.
Actually, I believe that Taser gives us a credit. They kind of buy them back. I don't know what they do with them. Maybe salvage parts from them or something. But we are given a credit for the return of the existing Tasers that we have.
Thank you.
Ms. Chair, anything?
I had just a couple questions. First one, I just to help me understand, in the current environment with rising prices, I saw that salaries and wages was anticipated to be a little lower. Is that due to turnover of higher paid employees moving out and newer employees moving in, or is there something else that accounts for actually moving down in our number there?
That's something that you would have to bring up with Ms. McCain, because it's the negotiations between the county and the unions on wages, and she calculates those numbers. Many of the higher wage deputies have not left. I mean, some have, a couple of them that are up at the upper end of things have left or will be leaving. So there might be an anticipation of that. But it's, and I don't think that our wage scale has changed any of significance over it.
Okay. Yeah. And looking at the past couple of years as well on overtime, I saw that was a little bit lower than what the actuals that we'd used for the last couple of years. Obviously, we don't have finals on the current year, but the previous 2 years, like we were at or above 100,000, we're budgeting about 71 for this year. Just wondering if that is sufficient or if there's a structural change that potentially has accounted for not needing as much overtime.
One, if and when we can ever get up to complete staffing, And it happened once over the last 10 years, lasted about 5 minutes. That helps bring it down, and we're real close to getting up to full staffing again. But we're also working on some processes involving event staffing and some paybacks through that. So that would account for a reduced number.
Great. Thank you. Yeah, that makes good sense. The charges for lab fees, I understand a substantial portion of that is an agreement, a contract that we have with Washoe County. Is that a correct understanding?
Yes, we have a forensics agreement with Washoe County Crime Lab.
Okay. Are there other options? Not that I'm making, interested in making a change right now, but it's a 35% increase in 1 year. Wondering if there are other options. Should that be something that we were interested in, or are we basically at their mercy?
Really, nothing that is feasible. In the state of Nevada, we basically have Washoe County, or we have Las Vegas Metro. Dealing with Las Vegas Metro would put one heck of a fiscal strain on us transporting things back and forth. Washoe County, their numbers always amaze me. Sometimes it goes up a few dollars, sometimes it goes up several thousand dollars. Last year we actually saw a decrease in it, which was surprising. But they base it on percentage of use overall with the crime lab. If we've had more use over this past year, then our percentage goes up a little bit. It's really the only game in town.
Got it. Thank you. That's helpful to understand, because I wasn't sure if it was a fixed cost regardless of how much we use it, or if it does fluctuate somewhat based on how much we use it. So that's helpful. Thank you. Those are the questions about it.
Thank you, Chair. No questions for you.
Did you have any further questions on the sheriff budget, or did he clear everything up?
No, it's fine. Thank you.
Moving on to the district court budget, there is a significant increase in this budget, approximately 24%, and that's due to the JAV system upgrade. If you want to hear more about that, Dory can speak specifically to that, or we can move on.
Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions about the JAV system?
I do not. We've been through that. Thank you.
No, I think I'm good. Thank you.
Okay. We'd like to know what the upgrades would be for the JAV system. If you don't mind, please.
Good morning. Dory Nevin, interim clerk treasurer for the record. Our JAV system is the recording system we have that we use for recording commissioner meetings and planning meetings and district court. It hasn't been upgraded in years. Before Vanessa left, she had a security audit done by CISA, and one of the risks identified was an outdated version on our SQL server on the JAV server. They are not able to upgrade the system. We have now, so we need to upgrade to a different version on the JAV system in order to fix the risks. Okay. So it's a cyber security.
And are we getting new cameras or anything in addition to that, or it's just strictly the
upgrade?
It's just the backend SQL server licensing issue.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm.
Okay, the Justice of the Peace Department, she has spent the past year reorganizing her department and provided us with a plan. She would like to reclass one of her current positions to an office manager and hire another admin so that she has a clearly designated duties within her court. Also, she would like to eliminate the position of bailiff. And to do that, she has ongoing agreement with the sheriff to fund one of his deputies and basically have an on-call deputy as a bailiff when she needs it. That way, when the court is not in session or she doesn't need a bailiff for some reason, the sheriff can utilize that employee for his needs. She did write up a statement if you need more information about that.
Commissioner Gilman, do you need any further explanation on that?
I'm good. Thank you, sir.
Ms. Jen?
No, thank you.
I don't need this.
Okay. Moving on to community relations. This department handles all of our nonprofit support. With that, we have some new changes coming about. We have a new nonprofit organization that has requested funding from us, support funding, which is Comstock TV. They've requested some help to purchase some new equipment to continue operating. Community Chest has requested additional support for their growing youth programs and the needs of Story County. Another big change in this budget is we are including a building maintenance account with the understanding that some of our nonprofits have been charged with caretaking of our historic buildings. And in order to pay for these upgrades or these rehabilitation projects, we decided that it was prudent to create a building maintenance budget rather than granting this money to the actual nonprofit and having that look like it was out of bounds. In this budget, currently we have two buildings that have requested attention. One is St. Mary's, which Erica has let us know that we have several windows that are in need of replacing, and this would need to get done sooner than later to provide that no water or weather related damage causes more problems within this historic structure. Fourth Ward has also requested some building maintenance funds for ongoing restoration projects. Finally, another big change within the community relations department is we are now creating a new department and absorbing the senior center as a Story County department. So we'll discuss that budget further on down. But if you have any questions on the nonprofits or anything, we can elaborate on.
Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions?
No questions, thank you.
Vice Chair?
So that line item for building maintenance, would that be something that the nonprofits request and actually handle any of those projects, or does that lie within the county's purview to actually get the projects done?
The idea is that they request the money and they handle the project themselves. We charge them with being the caretakers of these buildings. So they bring us the projects and then they handle them from there.
Got it. So the purpose of this was to separate it out so those did not look like operating funds.
Correct.
For the organizations.
Correct. We don't want somebody looking at that we've given them an extra $100,000 for operating costs when it actually is going to replace windows in our buildings.
Understood. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Nothing. Moving on to the service department. This department has had increases in all areas of the budget, totaling 19%. The wages and benefits have increased due to the need for a new mechanic. This is with growing vehicles and equipment inventory within Story County. Also with this is service and supplies in this area of the budget. Operating supplies and computer software and capital outlay are the largest account line item increases. We do anticipate some changes as we move forward and streamline these plans. Also a new software system that Trent has requested, the JAL test system, I did locate that was budgeted twice, but I'd like Trent or Jason to speak on their need for a new employee and for this JAL test system.
Morning, Chairman, Commissioners. Jason Ward, Becky Public Works Director, for the record. I'll speak to the employee part, and then I'll let Trent get to the nuts and bolts of the JAL test system. Currently, we have a little over 300 vehicles and pieces of equipment that we're responsible for. Currently, with only three mechanics and one that just gave notice this morning that's retiring, we're only able to be reactive and not proactive as much as what we should be with all these vehicles and equipment. we're only allowed to, you know, work on breakdowns. Not able to do the safety inspections and regular maintenance as much as we should, like I said. But with the addition of this fourth mechanic, this should allow us to start getting back on track with doing more regular maintenance and safety inspections, because it's ending up costing us more money in the long run with not being able to keep up with the regular maintenance. As far as that goes, you guys have any questions for the employee?
Mr. Gilman, do you have any questions for Jason?
No questions, thank you.
Vice Chair?
No, thank you.
Good morning. I'm Trent Spreda, Story County Fleet Service Manager. For the record, the requested jail test, it's a computer diagnostic system. Right now, we currently don't have the ability to communicate with a lot of technology computers that are in a lot of our heavy equipment, heavy trucks. We do have a diagnostic tool for light duty cars, vehicles. However, anything 3,500 or one ton and above, we don't have the ability to communicate right now. So that leaves us taking it to Reno, Sparks, to the dealership and paying a diagnostic fee, which is anywhere upwards of $300 to $350 per occurrence. And then on top of it, the payroll for people, whether it be fleet service or the departments themselves, to be taking these vehicles to the dealership and picking them up. I feel it could be a big improvement in productivity and cost savings if we were to able to get this diagnostic tool so we can it is possible to repair our vehicles as much as we can in-house in our own shop. And then I also think it could be a cost savings, because you never know, a check engine light could come on. You could take it down for having a bad $20 sensor, but unless you communicate with a computer, that's a $350 bill right out of the gate. And also the laptop in this diagnostic system could be used for other purposes as well. It's based upon a Panasonic Toughbook. That way it's not dedicated just to one system. We could use it for other computer software needs as well.
Thank you. Mr. Gilman, do you have any questions?
I have no questions. Comment is, you have to keep up with technology, and so I would agree with the concept.
Vice Chairman, do you have anything to try?
So my only question is, it looks like the original request was for a larger amount that then was pared back. Does that still get us everything we need to be able to make this upgrade or change?
Well, we would probably leave it, and I can talk with Comptroller McCain on that. However, we would probably leave it at the larger amount at this time, because just in the past month, we've had a $900 price increase, which I hate to keep bringing up price increases. Just seems to be the economy we're in right now. But that $16,000 would encompass everything we would need at this time.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you, Trent.
Is there any more questions at this time?
You're good.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
I did just receive a text from Erica Perry with the St. Mary's Art Center, and she would like me to correct that they are not replacing with new windows. They are rehabbing the existing historic windows. So I wanted to make sure that I let everyone know that. Moving on to IT, there is a significant increase in the IT budget and every IT portion of our budget. The IT pays for many items that are actually used countywide, including purchases, agreements, and all matters of security. The county had a security audit done by CISA, and through this, we received top marks, but there were some areas that they recommended that we keep up on and to keep the county safe and keep hackers out. This is a reflection of a $33,000 increase in the security line item. Other significant line items increases are in under communications, software, and maintenance agreements. Before I hand this section over to James, because I don't understand anything IT, I would like to let you know that we have been working ongoing with James, and there will be significant changes increases in some areas, decreases in other areas between the tentative and the final. But I'd like to James to come up and answer any questions IT related.
Good morning, commissioners. James Dean, Story County IT Director. So over the last year, we've added a significant amount of new facilities, including the sewer tower that just got completed down at the sewer treatment facility, my new office facility for IT, the Justice Court, and we just lit up Community Chest. So with each of those new facilities, we've got new wiring, new radios, new switches, new routers, new firewalls. All those have an initial cost, but also an ongoing annual maintenance cost. The word of the day, of course, is inflation. I'm hearing 20 to 25% increases across the board on anything that has a chip on it, which in IT is everything. And they're saying 20 to 25% is probably conservative. And even if we can even get it, some of the stuff we've ordered this year took 6 months. Some of it hasn't arrived yet. And with Jennifer McCain's guidance, we're kind of like, maybe we should order it, you know, in July and hopefully get it by the end of the year type situation. As she mentioned, we did a federal audit with CISA, and that was free. They did an extensive penetration test on all of the county's facilities, infrastructure, firewalls, every department. They went through with a fine-tooth comb and gave us a 68-page report, which is not really a public document because it exposes some of our weaknesses, but we did receive high marks, no critical issues, which we were commended on for a small county government. They usually have 5 to 10 critical, you know, must take action today type things. We had zero. We did have two high impact items, which we've already addressed, and then a couple of low items that are not super pressing, but should be addressed. And I think that's where a lot of the security upgrades that we've identified for this coming budget year, but also what we've been doing for the past several years. You know, we've seen ransomware hit water treatment plants, not necessarily ours, but you know, you've heard it in the news. These ransomware attacks are devastating. And what we've done to mitigate that is our network is very segmented and compartmentalized. So if we were to get hit at, say, fire or sheriff or the water treatment plant, it's not going to spread like wildfire through our entire organization. It's going to be compartmentalized for the most part into individual departments. And to make that happen, we have firewalls at each facility. So again, you've got those hardware costs up front and then your annual software maintenance to keep those current. And then we're going to do capital outlay later, right? Okay. So I got a significant increase in capital outlay, and that is mostly the biggest portion of that is finishing the VHF repeater system on the mountaintop. So last year, we implemented a $1.2 million system for the Motorola VHF radio system for fire and sheriff. That's been completed, but there is a back-end component that ties all of those systems together, which has been my responsibility. It's a part of the Quad County Microwave Network. We have four mountaintops that have 10 to 12-year-old equipment that needs to be replaced, and a big chunk of that, I believe $500,000 of my capital outlay is related to that project. So while it's in IT's purview, it's really a life safety issue. And I expect that system to run for another decade plus before we have to look at something that large again. That's all I have.
Commissioner Gilman, any questions for James?
No questions. Thank you.
Vice Chair.
Hi, James. I just had two questions. The first one was I noticed on several of the departments, they had a line item for computer equipment. And as well, then, of course, as a line item for computer equipment for IT. And I'm just wondering if those are totally separate, if there's any duplication, how we divide that out.
Generally, the departments budget for their own PCs, so workstations in their office, and then IT would budget for the backend servers and backup strategies, antivirus. So when you see line items for computer equipment on a per department basis, 99% of the time, that's going to be laptops and desktops, where the larger items in IT are going to be the back-end servers and the software licensing, firewall switching.
Great, thank you. I just had one other question, and that had to do with, you know, on the list of other expected or reoccurring expenses, there are three towers listed, and one was substantially more than the other two. The Pond Peak Tower was like three, four times what the others were, and I'm just curious what.
So that's owned by Global Tower. It's their agreement for us to be on their towers and in their infrastructure. They've gone up every year. They're kind of, you know, a monopoly as far as, you know, it's the only mountaintop in town when it comes to covering the I-80 corridor, and they've continued to increase. So that's just the nature of the beast there.
Great. Thank you very much.
James, I got a question for you. We talked about the JAV system.
Yes.
That server. I know we've talked about some cloud-based, using some cloud-based options.
Right.
Is that an option for that?
It is an option. JAVs is obviously installed, and it's part of not just the recordings, but it's also the cameras, the speakers, the wiring on the floor. So if we were to move to a cloud-based system, the infrastructure in place would probably all have to be replaced. It's all proprietary. So JAVs has been a working system. It's just, it's extremely proprietary. So I don't know that the hardware that we're using today would carry over to a cloud-based solution. But obviously there's Zoom and hundreds of other companies that do just this, but there's also the staff training involved and public records request and being able to get these out to the public quickly. And I'm not sure that a cloud-based solution would be as responsive as JAVS is for those type of issues.
Okay. Thanks. That's all I have.
Thank you.
Moving on to the comptroller's budget. We have a request for one part-time admin assistant due to some reorganization that we're doing with county manager's office, as well as finding through this budget process that Austin and I have found that some things that we have always wanted to accomplish, such as auditing inventory and those kind of things, just keep getting pushed down in the piles. I'm hoping when things slow down, we hire a new part-time admin, we can have room to do some of these extra duties. The senior center budget is brand new this year. Always the Story County has granted support to the senior center. And in the past year, it has come to light that incorporating this community service into our government would have certain benefits. Currently, the senior center has 14 to 16 full-time and part-time employees, not including Stacy, who is their director manager. As a new department, we will see this increase of employees. The services and section of this budget mirrors the existing nonprofit budget for the past calendar year. We decided to go with the approach of budgeting what they presented us with and watching that over the current year to see if there's any needs to increase or decrease line items. As you know, there are specific things that the county pays for as a whole. For example, the utilities, our insurance, they'll be grouped into our insurance plan, which would possibly decrease those. But right now we're going to leave those at the level that they are at. As well, the senior center will bring in a few new line item revenue numbers. This includes approximately $370,000 in grants that will follow the nonprofit into its new government life, as well as about $25,000 that she collects for the sale of meals and other revenue items. The overall expenses in this new department are approximately $950,000. While comparing that with its revenues, we can bring that down to $540,000. In the past, the county has supplied approximately $500,000 in support. So bringing this department in with our Story County government family, we're going to see approximately a $30,000 increase in our expenses. Did you have any questions on the senior center?
Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions regarding the senior center?
No questions. Thank you.
Sure.
No, thank you.
Nope. Emergency management has a slight increase in her budget, and that is mainly due to new trainings and conferences that are starting to come up again now that COVID is slowing down, let's say. It's not quite in our past. The planning budget has a significant increase due to an existing employee stepping up and willing to take some GIS training and do some internal GIS projects within the county. Their budget includes a higher, bigger, faster computer that can handle things that are GIS related, as well as all of these training classes. If you have any questions on that, Kathy can speak to those.
Commissioner Evans, do you have any questions regarding the new GIS system?
I have a couple of questions.
Sure.
Sorry to make you come up, Ken. So the first question that I had is just on salary and wages. It looks like it's anticipated to come down from what was budgeted last year. But I see that what was budgeted last year was substantially higher than actuals for the previous years. Could you just comment on this? Hang tight. I got one that you might be able to answer.
Last year, we budgeted for a planner position. This year, the planning department had opted out on hiring a full-time planner. They would like a part-time admin, which is significantly less pay.
Got it. Thank you. The line item for the computer equipment that goes to GIS was pretty substantial. The note that went with it said it was for a PC to operate that, but the line item $6,000+, and I'm just wondering if there's some specific needs that are beyond a normal PC to be able to run that GIS system.
It's probably GIS.
I can speak to that. So yeah, a GIS workstation probably.
Yeah, if you wouldn't mind, thank you.
Sorry, exercise.
It's good for me. James Dean, Story County IT Director. So yeah, a GIS workstation is probably one of the highest end PCs that you can get. The video card on a GIS unit itself is $2,000. And that's because it's doing complex layers and rendering and things like that. So in the past, it's pretty in line with what we've spent. And yeah, GIS computers are one of the most expensive that you can buy. But it's a full-blown desktop, high-end PC, five-year lifespan. Five-year warranty, so it's not something we're going to be looking at every year.
Great, thank you.
Yeah.
The only other question I had is there's a line item in here for weed control, and I was just curious what that is. $15,000.
I can speak a little bit to that, and then Austin, please fill it. I'm sorry. Every year in the past few years, we've contracted with the Dayton Valley Conservation District for weed control. They have had issues trying to get any people to actually work for them to come in and be able to do that. So we've kept that in our budget just in case they can get some people to do that. And that would be what that money would be for. We've also had some other ideas that we're going to explore further with our fire protection district and their new group to see if there's some way that might fit together. We're not sure if that'll work yet or not, but that's one of the things, and then we might be using that monies to see if the fire protection district could do some of that weed control.
Okay, that noxious weed abatement, is that what it is?
Yes.
Yeah. Great, thank you. Yeah. It just looked like a strange orphan charge to be in planning. So,
well, I would love to give it to the fire protection district. <so.
laughs> Great, thank you. Those are all the questions.
All right, thanks.
And with that, that's the end of our general fund. Just a high overview on that. Our increases are approximately 7% compared to the revenue increase of 10%. This gives us an overall excess revenues of $589,000 approximately. At this point, it's important to note that our revenues do support the operating expenses of Story County. When we go further down on the summary sheets that I've provided, you can see that the transfers are taken out after that, and this does lower our ending fund balance. We expect an ending fund balance to be lowered approximately $3 to $4 million, which is roughly 20% of our ending fund balance of the current year. while this would look like a shock at first, I think it's really important to note that a government is not in the business to make money. We're in the business to take care of our community and put that money back into our community. When you look at the capital project funds, there are several large projects that we have planned to either complete or begin in the upcoming year that will enhance the lives of our citizens and our business associates within Story County. So if you have any questions with the general fund, I'm happy to answer them. And with that, I'd like to say thank you very much for letting us do our little round robin effect. I don't pretend to be an expert of the other department's job, so this is why I like to bring them up to answer your questions.
Don't go anywhere. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Jennifer?
No, other than thank you very much for such a wonderful job. I think this is a great start for a preliminary budget, and we'll look forward to the detail that goes in. I'm glad it's so conservative. Certainly your conservative numbers, both revenue and expense at the beginning of your presentation, were wonderful. And keep up the good work. It's wonderful.
Ms. Sherman, do you have anything?
No, I don't think so. I was wondering if it made sense to take public comment section by section or wait till the end to do that.
We're going to wait till the end to do that.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
I don't have any questions for you.
Okay. Then with that, I'd like to move on to special revenue funds or special funds. The first one is the road department. Our revenues are projected to increase approximately 11%. This is due in large part to the gas and diesel tax that was implemented in the current year. Fuel tax is expected to increase by approximately 13%, and our sales tax is projected to increase by approximately 30%. These are numbers that are provided to us by the Department of Taxation. Our expenses in the road department are projected to also increase overall by 11%. The largest increase is in the service and supplies section, specifically equipment maintenance, which is increasing by 58%, and trainings, which are increasing by over 100%. This is due to new CDL regulations that all CDL drivers need to take certain trainings and a whole new process under that. Another section that is worth noting is we do provide the Story County General Fund does provide $400,000 in support for capital road improvements under this budget. We are currently working with Jason and Public Works to have a more streamlined, better plan to be associated with our road improvement projects that is estimated at $1.1 million. Our equipment acquisition fund, this fund receives revenues from our ad valorem interest and sale of county vehicles and equipment. This year, the county proposes to purchase several new vehicles and equipment. With that, I'd like to state that currently Trent has informed us that there are no car manufacturers that are building fleet vehicles, nor are they taking orders at this time. So although we have trucks and cars in our budget, we will be waiting until fleet vehicles are back in manufacturing and available for sale. We don't want to have a county fleet full of Cadillac type vehicles. A few large items that are in this fund. One is a Vactor truck, which is estimated at costing $650,000. And another item is a small town plow for $150,000. The small town plow was budgeted for the current year, but with the price increases, it went far outside of the budget that we had put in. Several items went over the budget that we had, and Jason opted to push the small town plow over to the next year. Also, he is requesting to purchase two new reader boards to replace one that is dead and one that is dying. We will also be looking at putting two more into the CIP. This year in this budget as well are three new patrol vehicles that were requested by the sheriff's office to keep his fleet roll moving as he had planned. I think Austin mentioned earlier, we're looking at developing a countywide rotation vehicle plan so that when vehicles in, for example, our emergency fleet as the sheriff's office, that vehicle might have 130,000 miles on it, which maybe we don't want a deputy driving around in that, but for the comptroller's office, the county manager's office, that vehicle would be just fine. So a paint job rather than a brand new vehicle. That's all I have on equipment acquisition. Our capital projects fund, this revenue mainly comes from transfers and grants. We are hoping for two large grants that Laura and Honey are working on for us. The first one is a $6 million water project, and we will also have a match for that. The second is the Lockwood Community Center, which we're anticipating a $5 million project and hoping for a grant to fund $2.5 million of that. I lost my place, sorry. Other projects that we're working on that are in the current CIP is the courthouse fence repair, rehabbing the Lockwood substation, re-roofing the tri-building, and there are several large IT projects that James commented on earlier, as well as extensive work on Electric Avenue out in Tri. This project out in Tri for Electric Avenue will be partially funded by Tesla in roughly the amount of $2.7 million. Other major items would be the tower at the VC sewer plant and a radio project that James commented on earlier. Major items not in the CIP, but did come to our attention, are replacing our fuel pumps at four areas of the county. This comes at a cost of approximately $75,000 for each pump. And Jason worked with his team and I think LA Perks and decided that the two we needed to do first were at the VC pump station and the Tri pump station. So that's where we're looking at doing that. We're also looking at sharing this expense with the fire district as all government entities in Story County use that. We're also looking at a couple of software items that we would like to purchase. One is an eWorks program, which is a, I just lost the word. It's a project management system, and it will help service with lining out their vehicles that they need to work on and keeping records online that all departments can look at, as well as lining out building projects. This is a program that could be used countywide. For example, if IT wanted to use it, it can also be used by IT. Another program that we're looking at comes from my department, which is a time and attendance program that would give us a more in-depth time and attendance online and help us eliminate the need for paper time cards. This program can be as minimal or as in-depth as we would like to make it, and it can be customized for each department. Are there any questions on the capital projects fund?
Mr. Gilman, you have anything for Jennifer on the cabinets?
No questions. Thank you.
Sure.
I had just a couple. So the water grant line item, $1.64 million, is that the match? Is that the anticipated match on the grants that are being applied for? Is that separate?
That is a project that will carry over for a couple years, and that amount is what Forest is anticipating will be the first year amount of the project. The match of that grant, we're planning on coming out of the infrastructure fund. Excuse me.
Great, thank you. I just wanted to confirm that. I don't know exactly what I'm looking at because there are several different elements to each of these packets, and so I don't know which report comes from where, but. In the breakdown of the capital outlay on one of them, the amount attributed to the Lockwood Community Center is split to $3 million. On the other, there the full $5 million is listed. And I'm just not sure what the difference is or what, why.
The entire project is estimated at costing approximately $5 million. There's no way that entire project will be completed in 1 year. And so we are estimating that the first fiscal year would spend approximately $3 million towards the end of next year. Basically, this time next year, we would evaluate where that project is and then budget for the remaining amount of the project the following year.
Okay. I'll contact you specifically just to help me understand what I'm not seeing here. So thank you.
Okay. Moving on to the infrastructure fund. This fund is designed to carry a fund balance and be spent according to a resolution that is signed by you, the commissioners. This is a very narrow field of uses, which is dictated by NRS. We currently do not have that plan finalized, but we will have a resolution to you before the final budget. One thing that we did find in researching some sewer bond issues was that the infrastructure fund was always planned to help the sewer fund pay for their bond payments for the sewer projects that were just completed. Water and sewer is one area that NRS allows us to fund these bonds or projects. Currently in the resolution that we will have for you is a transfer of approximately $600,000 for past years that were never transferred over to the sewer fund, as well as $200,000 for the current year. I believe this rate study that Far West did, where we found this information, is a five-year study. So we'll have one more year after this where that money will be transferred over. The idea is that the sewer fund would then be able to support its own operations on the services charges that it receives. And the other area that we just discussed would be to the match for the $6 million water grant. That would be a $1.3 million that would be definitely help the water system with upgrades that have been needed for several years. Another area is $300,000 over the next 5 years for water tank upgrades. And as I said, we'll have that plan before you, before the final budget. Moving on to the TRI payback fund. We've talked about this a couple of times over the years. We have transferred money from the general fund, the fire district, and equipment acquisition to fund our TRI payback. It came to our attention last year at the completion of a three-year audit that we are not funding this anywhere near where it should be. I am looking with Dory at several other avenues of funding this rather than transfers. For example, when they calculate our payment, to keep it in a nutshell, they use our property taxes and sales tax. So we are working on incorporating the TRI fund into the disbursement as the taxes come into the county rather than doing the transfers. We're currently undergoing the 2020 year audit with Connie Christensen. And when she has that completed, we will need to be prepared to make the upcoming payment. I am anticipating that for 1 year, it's going to be approximately $3 to $4 million. At first, that sounds like a shock, which it is, but we need to keep in mind that as that payment goes up, it's just an indication that life in Story County is getting better. That means we have more property taxes coming in, our sales tax is increasing. So if we continue to look at that as a positive rather than, you know, oh my gosh, we have a huge bill to pay. The final fund that I would like to discuss is our grant fund. Laura and Honey have worked really hard on trying to find grants that we can do projects with. And right now they're working on securing $422,000 of grants for projects that we could possibly do within the county. If you have specific questions on any of these grants, I would turn it over to Laura and Honey.
Mr. Gilman, do you have any questions about the specific grants?
No questions. Thank you.
Mr. Chair?
No, I'm happy to be surprised as they come in.
No questions. No?
Okay. So the last two funds really this time is VCTC and Piper's. The budget before you, I believe, is the budget that the VCTC board has approved at their last meeting. We do have a few changes going on, and getting the exact budget where it needs to be will be an ongoing issue before, and we will have it finalized before the final budget. Currently, the revenues are falling slightly lower than the expenses of approximately $4,000 in the VCTC and the same amount in Piper's. So we're looking to find out where that discrepancy happened. Both funds have adequate ending fund balance, should that be the case of what happens. And with that, I think I'm done unless you have some questions for me.
Commissioner Gilman, do you have any more questions for Jennifer?
I do not. Thank you very much, Jennifer.
Chairman, anything?
No, I don't think so. Thank you.
All right. Is there any public comment regarding the budget and what we've talked about for the last hour or so? Not seeing any. You want to entertain a motion? Thank you.
All right, see you in a little bit.
I need to ask for some help here. I don't understand the recommended motion.
To approve the tentative budget presented to state?
Yeah, it's just there's some wording in there that I don't know if it's a typo or if it's a term that I'm not familiar with. Approval, top of probably filing.
Filing.
It's going to be filed. It's supposed to be filing. It says TTILING.
Yes, we don't want to tile the budget.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. This is Commissioner Mitchell. I move to approve the filing of the 2022-2023 Story County tentative budget to the Nevada Department of Taxation as presented.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you again to Jennifer and all the staff for being here to answer questions. Let's move on to item number 10. This is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of resolution number 22-639, a resolution setting grade and salary range of employees fixed by ordinance or resolution per NRS 245.045 for appointed Story County officials for the 2021-2022 fiscal year, and superseding prior year action by resolution for appointed Story County employees, with adjustments, adding a business development officer and increasing the pay grade for less than part-time lifeguard and IPT pool supervisor. Jeannie?
Good morning. Jeannie Green, Labor Relations. I'm filling in for Toby Witten today. We are requesting that this pay resolution be approved effective today, and that would allow us to start recruitment for the business development officer at a grade 140, and also to increase the salaries for the part-time lifeguards and pool manager. Do you have any specific questions?
Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Jeannie on this?
I do not.
Mr. Chair?
No questions.
We'll go to public comment and see if there's any public comment regarding this item. Not seeing any public comment. Commissioner Gilman, Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you entertain a motion?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. Is it all right if I just make a quick comment before I do?
Yeah.
I just wanted to put on the record, you know, we've discussed the reasons for some of this, and one of the challenges that in some of these positions, particularly the lifeguard positions, is just recruitment. If we want to have the pool open, we have to be competitive in what we're paying and to be able to attract the lifeguards that we need. And I'm strongly in favor of adding this position for an economic development officer. I think that where we are in the county, it's crucial that we have someone that is shepherding that process. We certainly all pitch into it, but our future really depends on us doing a good job continuing so that we can continue to do the things that we want to do and make improvements in the county. So I'm strongly supportive of this. And with that, I'll make a motion. This is Commissioner Mitchell. I move to approve resolution 22-639, a resolution setting grade and salary ranges of employees fixed by ordinance or resolution per NRS 245.045 for appointed Story County officials for the 2021-22 fiscal year and superseding prior year action by resolution for appointed Story County employees with adjustments, adding a business development officer and increasing the pay grade for less than part-time lifeguard and IPT pool supervisor.
Second that motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Jeannie. Moving on to item number 11, it's consideration of possible approval of resolution 22-640, resolution setting grade and salary range for employees fixed by ordinance or resolution per NRS 245.045 for appointed Story County officials and for the 2022-2023 fiscal year and superseding prior year action by resolution for appointed Story County employees with grade adjustments for community relations coordinator, comptroller, county manager, event and business development officer, senior services director, less than part-time lifeguard, and IPT pool supervisor, and the addition of IPT transportation driver, IPT homemaker, and IPT program coordinator for Story County Senior Services, administrative officer, assistant public works director, bailiff, director of security, communications director, fire marshal community development director, management analysis 1 and 3 will be abolished as there are no positions now or anticipated to be allocated to those classes. Management analyst 2 will be retired to management analyst. The general salary schedule will be consistent with the general employees AFSCME salary schedule and will be adjusted accordingly on a year by year basis to be consistent with the countywide classification plan. A little longer next time. Yeah.
Jeannie Green again. This is the second pay resolution before you. If it is approved, it would be effective July 1st of this year, not effective today. We conducted a salary survey this year of the positions listed on the pay resolution, and those are the non-represented positions. For the most part, our salaries are in line with surrounding counties, with the exception of the community relations coordinator, comptroller, county manager, event and business development manager, senior services director, the lifeguard and pool supervisor, which you just took action on, and also the justice of the peace. We are recommending the grade level of those positions be adjusted to fall within the average range of like positions within the surrounding counties. This puts us in a place where we're not lagging in salaries, but we're not leading in salaries either. We're kind of right in the middle. The individuals in these particular positions will move to the higher grade at a step that is closest to their current pay or step 1 in the higher grade. This action will reduce the cost to implement the grade adjustments. The exception to the grade adjustments is the justice of the peace, and that salary is just a set salary. It's not a salary range. The resolution also includes the addition of the business development officer, which you just approved, and 3 new classes for senior services. And those are the ones that Jennifer talked about that are being absorbed into the county. They're currently existing in the program. And it's the transportation drivers, homemaker, and the program coordinator. And there are a number of classes that are being recommended to be abolished as they're no longer needed. There are no positions allocated to those classes, or nor anticipated to be in the future. Finally, we are recommending the general salary schedule, step and grade ranges be consistent with the AFSCME general salary schedule and adjusted on a year-by-year basis for cost of living and to maintain consistency in the county's classification plan. The adjustment of those grades and steps would be effective July 1st and is included in the packet as attachment A. If this is approved, there would just be one pay schedule for all county employees, which would simplify matters in both the HR office and the comptroller's office, and employees would be paid consistently. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Thanks. I'll go to the public first. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Not seeing any. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Jeannie regarding item number 11?
I do not. I'm in support of this action.
Vice Chairman?
I just had a couple of questions. Yes. First one had to do with not the specific positions, but the second piece you were just talking about. Is there some sort of a catch-up? Does that happen immediately for those who were not keeping pace with the AFSCME schedule? How are we proposing to deal with that, reconciling those?
Okay. Yes, the AFSCME negotiated a three-year contract 3 years ago, and there was a two-year salary increase every year during that contract. The non-represented employees did not receive any pay increase at all for the last 3 years. So what we are proposing is that effective July 1st, those two salary schedules coincide with each other.
So in essence, in one shot, it would bring them to parity.
Correct, yes.
As of July 1st.
Correct.
Thank you. Do I understand correctly that with the Justice of the Peace position, there's a longevity component to their compensation, even though it's not on a step schedule?
Correct. There is an ordinance in place that provides longevity for the Justice of the Peace. We are working with Keith to possibly bring forth an adjustment to that ordinance before you.
Okay. Thank you.
I have no questions. So thank you.
You're welcome.
With that said, in a motion, sure.
Yeah, be happy to. My Commissioner Mitchell move to approve resolution number 22-640, a resolution setting grade and salary range of employees fixed by ordinance or resolution per NRS 245.045. for appointed Story County officials for the 2022-2023 fiscal year and superseding prior year action by resolution for appointed Story County employees with grade adjustments for community relations officer, comptroller, county manager, event and business development officer, senior services director, less than part-time IPT lifeguard, IPT pool supervisor, and the addition of IPT transportation driver, IPT homemaker, IPT program coordinator for Story County Senior Services, administrative officer, assistant public works director, bailiff director of security, communications director, fire marshal, fire marshal community development director, management analyst 1 and 3 will be abolished as there are no positions now or anticipated to be allocated to those classes. Management analyst 2 will be retitled to management analyst. The general salary schedule will be consistent with the general employees AFSCME salary schedule and will be adjusted accordingly on a year-to-year basis to be consistent with the countywide classification plan.
Second that motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Jeannie, for you and your team on the work on that. Item number 12. This discussion for possible action, consideration and possible approval of contract between Nevada State Department of Health and Human Services Division of Healthcare Financing Policy, Nevada Department of Health and Human Services Division of Welfare and Support Services, and Story County regarding the administration of services, determining the eligibility of applicants and the eligibility of medical services provided, eligible applicants for Medicaid payments and addressing the county's portion of those payments for a term beginning July 1st, 2021, ending June 30, 2023, for an amount not to exceed that identified in the enclosed contract. County Manager Osborne.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Austin Osborne for the record. We renew these contracts pretty periodically. The agenda language is pretty self-explanatory. This is a contract between Story County and the state of Nevada. It provides the administration and the eligibility and the assignments related to indigent medical services under NRS as required by the NRS. They determine the eligibility, get those folks that need that medical services. They just take care of a lot of that for us. In this case, it's a 2021 to 2023 contract. There is a retroactive component, and it's $44,621 term based on case law. Happy to answer any questions. Otherwise, you have the contract is pretty clearly written on how the dollars are lined up.
Thank you, Austin. Is there any public comment regarding item number 12? Not seeing any public comment. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Austin about this?
I have no questions. Thank you.
Mr. Sherman?
County Manager, the dollar amount that you mentioned, is that for the entire length of the contract? Or is that a per year?
It is, and it's based on the assessed value. They come up with that dollar amount from that, not to exceed.
Great, thank you.
All right, with that said, would you entertain a motion?
Yeah, I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the contract between Nevada State Department of Health and Human Services, Division of Healthcare Financing Policy, the DHCFP, Nevada Department of Health and Human Services, Division of Welfare and Support Services, DWSS, and Story County regarding the administration of services determining the eligibility of applicants and the eligibility of medical services provided eligible applicants for Medicaid payments and addressing the county's portion of those payments for a term beginning retroactively on 7/1/21 and ending 6/30/23 and for an amount not to exceed that identified in the enclosed contract.
Second that motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Austin. Moving right along to item number 13, this discussion of possible action, discussion and possible determination that cost of collecting water basin fees by imposing an assessment on all properties within the water basin is more than revenue expected to be obtained and therefore that the water basin assessment in the amount of $14,400 may be appropriated from the general fund.
It's Keith Lewis, Story County DA's office. The state engineer supervises basins, water basins within the state. And in some of those basins, the state engineer is authorized to make the determination that that basin needs further supervision. And when he makes that determination, he can hire a water master and assistants to supervise. The costs of the people that are hired are to be covered, number one, by license fees. And to the extent they're not covered by license fees, then the counties are required to impose a special assessment on the properties within the water basins to complete the payment of the costs that are generated by the people that are supervising. Now, in this case, the Water Resources has sent a letter requesting that the county put a levy and assessment in the amount of $14,400 in the Tracy Water Basin and in the Dayton Valley Water Basin. And so the question is that the statutes provide that if the board determines that the cost of levying the assessments and getting those revenues in is greater than the amount of the revenues that would be obtained, then the board can authorize payment of the amount directly from the general fund. And so in discussion with the Division of Water Resources, they've indicated that their estimate is that the amount of the assessment that would be imposed on each of the properties within the water basins is about $2 per property. Now, if we went ahead with the levy, the assessments, that's going to require some activities by the assessor's office, by the clerk treasurer's office, perhaps through the planning department, and perhaps through Far West. If we get into a situation of actually going out to collect those fees or trying to set up an assessment process, that may impact the district attorney's office. I don't have a specific estimate as to what the amount of those activities would be. I can just say that it's estimated $2 per property. So the recommended motion is to have it paid out of the general fund directly rather than go through the assessment process. Though I can tell you that the departments are happy to go ahead with the assessment process if that's your desire.
Probably cost us four times as much. Is there any public comment regarding item number 13? Not seeing any public comment. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Assistant DA Loomis?
I do have no questions. Thank you.
Mr. Chair?
I have just two questions. The first one has to do with the license fee. Is that a particular type of license? Is it water-related licenses, or is it broader than that?
It's the license fees generated. My understanding is out of the state engineer's office, like well drillers licenses and whatnot.
Got it. Thank you. I read the letter that they sent. The NRS that's quoted specifically says that if investigations of the state engineer's office have shown the necessity for supervision over the basement, did they give any sort of reason why they concluded through an investigation that they needed additional to babysit these basins in addition?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
Now this is, for whatever reason, this is an ongoing annual type of fee. And we've been paying it for some time now. I went back, it started about 2006, and it was like $500 back then and $1,000 maybe several years later, and it just goes up consistent with expenses. Back in about 2014, Mr. County Manager Witten declined the payment because there was not an explanation, but it appears that, and I researched the agendas for another year after that, did not find where there was any explanation of it. So I don't have that explanation today, but it appears that we have been paying it for a number of years, but it never really made the determination that it's an actual, because to my knowledge, we never levied the assessments.
Interesting. So as far as you know, that we're not currently paying, or we are not just not levying the assessments.
We're not levying the assessments.
Got it. In past years, have we paid out of our general fund budget for the amount that's been requested from the state?
That I couldn't tell you. Maybe Jennifer could answer that question.
Current year, we budgeted $6,000 approximately in the bill, came in at $14,000. So they don't really give us advance notice of how much they're going to charge us.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Loomis. I don't know what the other commissioners feel about this, but I'm a little hesitant to pay money to the state without a good reason behind it. I mean, they send a letter and request it. They cite a code in Nevada state law. I'm not trying to be a troublemaker, but I'd like to know what it's going for, before we cut a check for $14,000.
Commissioner Gilman, feeling like trouble today?
Well, certainly we can ask the questions, can't we? My experience is once you have the state in line for a check, it's pretty hard to deny it, but I'm certainly of a mind to make the request.
Okay. So do we want to postpone this item?
And I guess my only question is there potential issues, or do we run into trouble if we don't approve it today? Do we put ourselves at some sort of risk, or does it seem reasonable to ask for an explanation?
I don't think so. I did talk to Dan Randall's Division of Water Resources, and he indicated that if there were questions, he'd be happy to appear by Zoom and answer them. But I really hadn't anticipated that, but we're certainly happy to talk to you.
Give me Clay's number.
Yeah, perfectly fine. So, unless there's a feeling otherwise, I'd like to hold off on approving this until we get a little more explanation on what that is. But since it's agendized, I mean, we can probably discuss, because that's not really the question before us. The question before us is, do we assess it to the property owners, or do we take it out of the general fund, assuming we do pay it? And I don't really have any appetite for assessing it to the property owners. So if it's necessary, then I think we can pay it out of the general fund, but we can cross that bridge when we get there.
So, Assistant DA Loomis,
Keith, if I may, Lance here. What's the probability of denying the state this particular payment? What's the probability of denying that?
I think it's slim and none.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not sure that with all due respect, I'm not sure that it makes sense to move it on down. We might as well deal with it today, because I'm sure at the end of the day, we're going to have to make the assessment payment.
Mr. Chairman, this is Janice Seddon, Story County Assessor. If I may make a comment. In the past, it's been, this year it jumped quite a bit, and I'm not exactly sure why, but I believe what we were told in the past was that this is the assessment that they do every year to keep track of how much groundwater there is, so that they know if they need to put a moratorium on the number of wells that are drilled in an area. I do not know. Austin may know a little bit more about this, or maybe even Kathy, because they do tend a lot of the water rights, not the water. I'm not even sure what it's a group with the state with the water conservation district. But I also believe they monitor to make sure that there's nothing in the water that is hazardous to the people that have wells in the area. It's a lot of stuff that they do to make sure, number one, that we're not using more water so that we all don't run out of water, and that the water that we are receiving is good water. And I believe, you know, I don't want to sit here and say that's exactly what they do, but in the past, that was kind of my understanding of part of what they do. I'm sure they do a whole lot more than that, but those were the big significant things that I could remember when we talked about it years and years ago. What part of this job that the state did in our areas for the water? Does that help at all?
It does. Thank you. Go ahead.
If you would like, Mr. Chairman, this was a pretty routine matter. If we continue it to the next meeting, I don't think anybody would be harmed by that. Mr. Loomis has indicated that he would reach out. They give a presentation, maybe a presentation is needed. So there can be questions about what we do about potential moratoriums and stuff like that. I'd be happy to work with Mr. Loomis on a continuation, if whether it's this item you're concerned about or just generally understanding the topic at hand. Either way, it doesn't hurt anybody.
Yeah, thank you. I think my biggest concern is this. Water is important, and I think from a separation of powers federalism perspective, if I wax a little bit esoteric here, I have a hard time passing along a cost at the local level to our taxpayers, not knowing what it's going to do potentially to their availability to use the water in their basin. And I'm not really of a mind, I guess maybe I have to come out as a troublemaker and say I'm not of a mind to make it easy on the state to assess our taxpayers for their work if they can't budget for it. I understand that it's provided for in the law, but the point is they're asking us to tax our people to do their work. And so I don't feel it's unreasonable to ask for an explanation of what the work is or what the benefit is that we get out of that. And that's so that's why I feel like I would not be doing my job correctly if I at least didn't ask the questions before we pass on money that we take out of our tax revenue to them. I mean, for heaven's sake, it's a Dillon's Rule state. The state has broad-based powers to control just about everything. And to pass this along, I think it's something that we should take a look at. And if that means that we don't just automatically pay them, it makes it a little more of a bumpy road for them, I'm okay with that.
Okay, so let's, why don't we postpone this item and get that gentleman in and just put this to bed. Sound good?
Sounds good. Make a motion to continue to the following meeting.
Great. So this is Commissioner Mitchell. I move to, I'm sorry, is it a postponement or table it?
Continuation.
Thank you. Continuation. Thank you. To continue this item to our next meeting, which is anticipated to be here at the courthouse on April 19th.
Second the motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Before we move on to item number 14, we're going to take a brief 10 to 11 minute recess. We'll dodge the air horn and see you back here right around 12:02.